Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Jonathan Biedelman for Baskin and Phelps. We are trying to be as much like Baskin and Phelps as we possibly can without either component of them or Menigan. We do have Meredith doing updates. So we have one piece of the show still here, but to try to be as much like Baskin and Phelps as we can, we bring in Brian Anderson, super friend of the show. BA, how you doing, man?
I am doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. By the way, thank you for still coming on, even though neither one of the guys are here to talk to you. You have no idea how much that means to me. I appreciate it because I am just trying to make sure that, my goal for today, BA, is just to make sure that people don't even question whether or not Baskin and Phelps were even on the air today. They're just like, oh yeah, I think they were there. They had all the same guests. Like they talked to Brian Anderson, right? Like they had some idea.
That's it. I mean, that's the name of the game. You know, I wasn't on last Friday either. I'm assuming, you know, because of Thanksgiving, I think it was last Friday, maybe the Friday before, whatever the Friday after Thanksgiving, I was not on. And I think that that's only the second either, because I think originally I started off coming on Thursday. And so that was only the second Thursday or Friday since March of 2020 that I hadn't been on. So when I didn't hear any word last night before I went to bed, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I've just been booted from the show. And then I woke up to a text that Meredith had sent me late last night. And I'm like, okay, we're all good to go. So I am happy to be on your show.
Okay, that's good. I like this. You see, I'm keeping peace for Baskin and Phelps is what I'm doing. That's I like that. It's a good spin zone you have right there. And by the way, every time they talk to you, seemingly every time, I always think to myself, I'm sure they've asked him this. Why don't they ever ask him if he's ever done a game with play-by-play broadcaster Brian Anderson? Like, is that ever, like, as both of you guys have done it for more and more years, and really you've always been in the eye, but, like, play-by-play Brian Anderson, he's had quite the glow-up in the previous couple years. Has anyone ever approached you about a Brian Anderson game?
They have not, and I'm with you. I'm wondering why that has not happened. Now, I will tell you that I have had a number of interactions with the other BA over the years, and he is a fantastic human being. I mean, not only is he really, really good at what he does, whether it be in the arena of baseball, obviously, with the Milwaukee Brewers and the national stuff that he gets to do, but he's also a tremendous play-by-play guy for basketball, too. And so he's a very talented broadcaster and, you know, maybe even a better human being. So we actually, when we played the Brewers in interleague play, we actually did a, you know, Brian Anderson with Brian Anderson segment on their pregame show. And then the last time they came into town, he was doing a game for, there was actually this past season, and he was doing a TBS game, and he came in and we filmed a little vignette about basically, you know, identity fraud, you know, what's your name, you know, back and forth that he wanted to do. And then he posted it on his social media. So we had a little bit of fun with that, but he is a great guy. And push it off to the side, forget about the name. I would just like to do a game with him because I think he's really good at what he does and it'd be fun to work with him.
I just think it needs to be a thing. And you talking about that skit that you guys did reminded me of that old commercial. I don't even remember who it was, but it was about Tom Brady, and they just lined up everybody with the name Tom Brady and how it basically ruined their life.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. And it's funny because he's a year older than I was, than I am. And he was playing college baseball down in Texas. And I don't off the top of my head remember the school that he was at. But when I ended up getting drafted in 1993, he was telling me, he said, I was getting all these phone calls from people, you know, congratulating me. And he said, no, that's the other Brian Anderson. He goes to a school in Ohio somewhere. That is not me. So this this weird little back and forth between us, you know, started way back when I got drafted.
That's great. So, B.A., I want to get to some of baseball and the mess that's currently going on. But before we do that, I got to ask you about the Browns. Since then, you've last talked to Baskin and Phelps. It's kind of been a hot mess itself. Like, baseball labor strike's been a mess. The Browns have been a mess. I love this team. They're entirely way too average right now, Brian Anderson.
You know what? What was Bill Parcells, saying? Your record is what it says that it is. And what are they? 6-6. They're a very mediocre, inconsistent team, and that has played itself out over 12 games. They are exactly what their record says that they are, and it's been tough to watch because the expectations coming into the season were so sky high on how they finished last season and then what they were able to do in the playoffs and then pushing the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City as far as they did in the playoffs. Everybody was geeked up coming into this season, and obviously they were a sexy pick for a potential Super Bowl, first time ever. And so you combine all of that with what we've seen on the field, and it has been an absolute downer, and it culminated in last week in prime time. And you go out and you pick off Lamar Jackson four times. I'm sure you guys have beat the crud out of this all week long. You know, intercept him four times and still find a way to lose that game. There was a stat that they threw up at the end of that game, and I think it was either from 2015 or 2016, between the regular season and the postseason. There were 52 different games where a team intercepted at least four passes in a game, and four or more interceptions in a game, and the team's record in the 52 games was 52-0, until, of course, the Browns were able to give it that one loss by picking off four passes and losing the game. So it's been tough to watch, and you just wonder if they have, you know, really run out of time, because with what the number of teams that they're going to have to jump. And I know that their record says that they are still in it, but they also, winning percentage-wise, have the toughest remaining schedule in the NFL and really have shown you no signs that they're going to put together 3-4 wins in a row. So you wonder. You're hopeful coming out of the bye. I think that's how everybody's going to feel, and they're certainly going to be lathered up when the Ravens come into Cleveland looking for a little revenge, but you just wonder if it's going to end up being too little too late. I guess we'll see.
You do wonder that. And so on that point, I wonder, like, what is considered a win for the season at this point then? If we're taking playoffs at the table, is it just having Kevin Stefanski? Like, Stefanski's smart, but when the game gets underway, I feel like he turns into a drunken toddler. Is it just him, like, evolving and having better awareness in the game? Like what's a win for you as the season moves on?
You know what? I think that that's one of those questions that I can answer – you know, when it's all said and done, and you'll know it when you see it. When you see the team start to look a little bit more buttoned up, when you see the team look like they have a game plan that they are going to go out there and they execute consistently, and it doesn't look like some of the play calling is all over the map, and you really can't, you're just wondering where everything's going and what the overall plan is. I think that once you see this team, you know, become cohesive, I think the defense has really started to put its best foot forward, and they're getting healthier. And so you want to see that side of the ball maintain the consistency that they've shown outside of really that game against the Patriots. But recently they've looked a lot better, and you want to see the offense really start to have a clue, because you look at the overall talent on that offense and the skill players. And you know, maybe you don't have that home run threat as a wide receiver, but with all the tight ends, the running backs, and Baker being able to execute the game plan, they should be a whole lot better than, you know, how many games? What's it, once in the last six or seven games they've scored more than 17 points? It's And in today's day and age of the NFL, where it's geared towards the offense and you need to be able to put up points, that is just absolutely unacceptable. And combine that with the fact that your head coach and play caller is, you know, a big time offensive guy, and you know, he's an offensive guru. It just, it's unacceptable from, you know, from what we've seen, what the output has been. So I think that that's a question that you'll know it when you see it, and you'll go, okay, they really put something together after the bye. Now let's see how far that they can take it. But, you know, I'm not holding my breath.
B.A., have you ever watched the series The Office? Were you into that or no?
You know what? I had never gotten into The Office. Joe Madden, who obviously was the manager here before, you know, moving on to the Cubs and then the Angels, was a big Office guy. And
really?
My oldest daughter, Rylan, is a huge Office girl. And so here as of late, I mean, in the last maybe 4 or 5 months, I have found myself watching it, you know, for the first time really ever, but have gotten into it a little bit. And I kind of understand why it took off like it did, because it is a funny show, but I am a novice when it comes to the overall Office viewing.
Okay, so I think it's hysterical, even though not much of it is held up the way that it did. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of it is kind of, yeah, I get why some of the episodes have been kicked off Netflix, right? But either way, I don't know if you've watched the episode or not, where Michael Scott is, he's given a surplus, right? So Oscar comes in and is like, you're given a surplus, and Michael Scott doesn't know what a surplus is, you know, because he's an idiot, let's be honest about it. And he's like, all right, explain this to me like I'm a five-year-old. And then Oscar breaks it down to him as if he was like explaining a surplus to a child. Break down what's happening with Major League Baseball as if I'm a five-year-old for me.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, you know, there's been labor peace. Actually, the last time that there was a strike or a lockout, I was a part of it. That was back in 94 when we went home in August and we never came back. And the World Series got canceled. That was my rookie year with the Angels. And that was quite the introduction to Major League Baseball. Very strange times. Since then, you know, there's been labor peace, and it's gone well. Now, I will tell you this. The last two collective bargaining agreements have not gone very well for the players. I think that their priorities got a little bit out of whack. Some of the things that they were looking to gain from the negotiations, the owners were more than happy to give it up. And then they took some concessions from the players in other areas that I think the players realized, was probably not the correct way to go. So I think that the players, really, if you were to put a ledger out there, they've really lost the last two collective bargaining agreements. It's gone much better for the owners. So they were hell-bent on, when this collective bargaining agreement is coming up, they want to regain some ground that they lost. And you knew that, because when I was playing, they would come to you and they would take a portion. You get licensing money every year. They would dispense of the money in spring training to all the players. As you were coming into a collective bargaining agreement year where, you know, things were going to be, you know, the deal was going to come up in, let's say, 3 years down the road, they would withhold a portion of your licensing money to kind of build a war chest to be able to get the players' union through any work stoppage. You know, if a guy needed a loan, anything that may come up financially throughout the union. Well, coming into this negotiation, the players' union, not only did they withhold licensing revenue, but all of it, not a portion of it, for the last 3 years, all of the licensing money owed to the players has been put into a war chest. So that lets you know right off the bat that they were very serious about trying to regain some lost ground in this negotiation. And so you knew it was going to get ugly anyway. And then I think the way that you saw the two sides handle themselves during the pandemic in trying to get a season going again, let you know that, listen, if it's this ugly during a pandemic when no one wants to hear this stuff, and by the way, you have an opportunity to have the sports world to yourself for a month before football starts to be able to showcase Major League Baseball, and they still couldn't even get that done because they were so at odds about how to get back on the field. That right there told you unequivocally that this negotiation at the end of the 2021 season was going to be ugly. And so what happened was, we all saw there was a little flurry there coming up to December 1st of guys trying to get signed. I think the owners were able to take advantage in some cases of players being a little bit jumpy about the unknown and not wanting to go into a long, cold winter without a contract. And so they were able to tap into maybe some of the uncertainty and some of the fear, the jumpiness, if you will, of some of these players, and the owners were able to get some good deals on the books. And there obviously were some really good deals for the players, too, when you think about Seager to the Rangers and Marcus Semien, you know, getting the money that he got. So there were some good deals on both sides. But now the owners lock you out because the deal has come up, and it's just going to be quiet. There can be no more signings, no more trades. Nothing is going to happen in baseball until when typically these negotiations don't heat up until there's a real possibility that income or revenue for the 2022 season, in this case, are at risk. And that's when you'll see this thing start to ramp up. There'll be a lot of rhetoric, a lot of saber rattling through the winter, but nothing's really going to happen until you get to the point where it's like, hey, if we don't get into a room and get this figured out right now, spring training is going to get pushed back, or the regular season is going to get pushed back, or the season's going to be 154 games, not 162. Once you get to that point, which is typically going to happen at some point in February as you're moving into March, that is when you're going to see the negotiations get serious, and that's typically when I expect something to get done. And that way, even if the normal spring training starting date got pushed back a little bit, you could still get the deal done, get the guys signed, get them into camp, have a shortened spring training, and still be able to get the season. But you typically in these negotiations, you don't have any kind of agreement until your backs are up against the wall. And that's not going to be for a few more months. So it's going to be a very quiet winter for baseball as far as any kind of movement.
It's so stupid because they could just they could play with that sense of urgency like tomorrow with the idea that they might potentially lose games in the discussion, but like play with that sense of like we're up against the clock. But you're right, they won't do it. They'll sit on their thumbs for two more months, three more months, and they'll wait until there actually is impending danger and watch us lose spring training over it, Brian. It's crazy to me.
You know what? It is, but it also it's negotiating. It's negotiating 101. Right now, listen, when the final deal gets done, both sides are going to have given up positions that they really didn't want to have to give up. You know, you're going to have to give something to get something. And right now, they are entrenched. This is what we want. The owners on the other side, this is what we want and how we want the sport to run. And right now, there's no reason for anybody to give up, you know, any of their positions. See, that's the problem, because there's no real deadline and there's no real sense of urgency, because nothing at this point is really at risk when you talk about the big picture. If the players union were to come to them with a proposal tomorrow where they concede in a couple areas, the owners are going to say, oh, look at, they're already starting to crack. And the owners are going to stand firm. And now the most recent proposal has moved in their direction, and they haven't moved at all. And neither side wants to be that first one to move with nothing really at risk yet. And so that's why they'll just sit tight. They may be able to make some agreements on some ancillary things around the peripheral, but the core financial decisions and the core financial negotiations, those will not be rectified until there is a limit and the clock is ticking. And now there's a risk of loss of revenue or loss of income from real games in the 2022 season. That's when it'll get serious.
All right, PA. Well, thank you for joining me, even though Baskin and Phelps are not here. And thank you for breaking it down like I'm a five-year-old. I appreciate you, man.
No problem. I'm not even sure if that was much help, but that was the best I was going to do today.
It was great. Thank you, man. Enjoy your Friday.
All right, bud. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right. Good stuff. You too. Brian Anderson in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I want to talk with you guys about what he had to say. Because, yeah, I needed the five-year-old breakdown. I have a lot of thoughts on baseball's lockout. I have a lot of thoughts about what I need to see. Baseball's my favorite sport. Said it before, I'll say it again. It is the one I ride and die with. And what I'm seeing happening right now is awful. I'll explain what I mean, but I want to hear from you guys whether or not this lockout has actually hurt your baseball fandom, because it has mine. I'll explain what I mean. It's Jonathan in for Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.